It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Virtue is the cure for everything. But not a surface virtue. Real virtue. And the measure of virtue that's real is to the degree that you measure your closeness to God by the degree to which you are less angry with people. So the less angry you are, the more you're in the business of dealing with it and neutralizing it, forgiving, in other words. It's not the right word, because I've done programs on it and you might want to catch me on it, but go ahead. But to the degree that you are neutral when you're attacked. Hiding or being in having neutrality. No. You endure the shock of cruelty. But then it isn't. In the beginning it is a shock, but you don't add resentment to it. You've made it. Just understand it. Let me give you a few clues. When you're dealing with stress and stressors and adversaries, they use every angle to intimidate you and lie about you and accuse you falsely. That is what's coming soon in a place near you, in a courthouse near you, in a theater near you. And offend a friend that becomes a fiend near you. So you have to discover a gift to survive wickedness. Now, not that people are wicked all the way through, because there are people who are permanently wicked, but you can't tell which ones they are. Therefore, don't sort them out. You must deal with all of them the same for your own sake, if not for theirs. For your own sake, if they're irretrievably wicked. But you don't know that. You have no way of judging whether there's a redeeming element gleaming there somewhere. That is why you don't judge. You just watch the wickedness and don't hate the hurter. Resent not evil, overcome evil with good. Change that word, resist, to resent not. And magic, bingo. You've got the key. That is the heartbeat of a brand new human being. You're untouchable. Now, having said this, I could see my adversaries lining up to do a hit piece on me sooner or later. You'll see, I've already discussed it. I understand it, and I'm honored by it. Yeah, I'm honored that you should see me as a tremendous threat to what is going on in this country. And that I'm your enemy, I'm glad that you're not my friend. I'd be embarrassed to be a friend of yours. I'm speaking about the media. You call the mainstream media. I'm not too proud of the regular media either. Yeah, but the trouble is with all that, you know, that media stuff, is that they have sponsors, so they are really limited in what they can say. You can't hurt your sponsors. You can't say what you really want to say, but I can because you're my sponsor. So can we understand that I'm going to be the last man standing, because the media is not doing much good. It just brings you all the news, but it doesn't send a ripple back. See, I'm sitting back here sending a ripple into the news media. They'll come back at me pretty soon, and they've already approached me to do something nice to me and give me, you know, to do what they call, what is it called? Oh, they want to, it's this production company wants to, it's a leading supplier of non-fiction, reality, how-to, lifestyle, action, invention, programming, blah, 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 and lots of television programs all over the country, as long as I can, you know, let them into my life and show them and show them how wonderful I am. No, I want to really, not going to do that. I know a trap when I see one. They're not my friends. But the point is, it's hit pieces, and I've never done anything to deserve this except tell you the truth. Tell it as I see it, no matter who calls. And if you need a kick in the butt, you'll get one on this program. And I'll say everything that everybody else cannot say, and that could save this country. But first of all, I need to save the country, people from the country.
Call Roy at 800-866-8883 between the hours of 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. West Coast time.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Well, in the last hour, I said, you know, please tell me what you think of me, hoping that I have an adversary of some kind to vent his feelings towards me. And I want my producer not to cut anybody off, you know, except that they be rude. All right, just, you can say what you think of me, and I'm okay with it. I just want you, why don't you just say it, get it off your chest? And then if you want me to discuss it with you, I'll be happy to. And I suppose there'll be something good too, but I'm looking for detractors, you see. Because my program is very eerily silent of those detractors. For 50 years now. And I've often said, please call. If you have a difficulty to be and you don't like what I'm saying, call. I never, 53 years of nothing. Only people are calling with problems, but even then the quality of my callers are going down because the tone of the country, the common sense has shrunk and also almost nothing. It's still there. You still have the common sense to hear me, but what you need is something to activate the common sense, to make it function from within. The common sense will actually give you conflict. It can actually give you guilt. And if I can convince you that the conscience is not your enemy, and it's only trying to tell you what's wrong, but there's something part of you that makes you can actually make you think that your conscience is your enemy, the pain that is, the pain of not being good enough, the pain of this, or pain of being bad. It's not being good enough, and it's the struggle to be a good person. You can't be a good person by struggle. You can't be anything worth anything by struggle. I mean, as far as achievement is concerned, in the light of the a path you might be on, but all your misery and suffering, just to give you a little bit of hope. All the misery and suffering and all the aches and pains and the accidents you had and the things you messed up and the people you hurt and the people who hurt you and all the mental problems, emotional problems and everything, all the bad advice you ever got, it works together for good, meaning everything bad works together for good for those that love the Lord deep down inside. I get that. So don't be disappointed about that, because that's what's required to bring you to salvation. And remember, I said to the person a little while ago, as the reason why he couldn't get better that quickly, because he's coward and never stuck his neck out. And I said, give me a rebel every time. Give me a rebel every time. Bring me one who comes from the pit of hell. Really angry, mean, but then is willing to listen, at least. Or angry at me. And doesn't really want to be, but I can. But then somehow it happens. And you'd be surprised if you can just hold your ground and be cool and not take things too personally with your family or anybody. What magic there is there. All right, now. So I got two. Let's just give me any one so we don't... I don't want to know what they're going to say. Okay, go ahead. It's Scott. Great Scott. Hello, Great Scott. What can I do for you?
Hi. I'm certainly not a detractor. You get me thinking that because you're such an agent of change, that what if God was talking to me right now through this telephone? Would I be worthy enough to have a conversation with
him? That's sweet. Thank you.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy. And I don't mean to say that to put you on a pedestal because...
No, I know that.
I certainly can't do that. But it always challenges me to look into myself to go, God, how can you make it better? You throw a little temper tantrum like a little girl, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways.
No, I do. I appreciate that.
That's really all I got. And I got to tell you, the first time that I heard you say, cheer up, you'll be dead soon enough.
No, I said, cheer up, you'll soon be dead. Yes.
I cracked up laughing before you even said anything. Because you said that, and I just started laughing, and you went to a break. And then when you came back on, you had said, now, some of you people, if you thought that was kind of funny, and I can't remember what it was you said about it, but I was one of those people who cracked up laughing.
I like it, but there are those who take you wrong in the smallest things. And that could be very, very dangerous to you if you don't know how to deal with that kind of weird kind of reaction. And if you say something that, you know, you may have a little joke in it, not very funny, and you didn't mean any harm, but they say, you meant some harm with that. But I didn't. Yes, you did. And all of a sudden they've got something on you, and it's like a shock. And you've got to be very careful of that. It could come from any place, any minute. And it could be very dangerous to you if you are not prepared for it, not objective where it bounces off of you.
Yeah. I think some of the problems that I have is I get a little bit too hard on myself. And, you know, you were just mentioning about how you might have wronged people and you really upset your family. That doesn't really, really cover me too terribly much. Not so much that I would go throw myself off a bridge.
No, of course not.
Or beat myself up over, you know?
So yeah, but it could be. It could be developed to that stage. You haven't lived in the bad enough circumstances, and when you were young especially, for all that to sprout, to almost cause you to commit suicide, it could be so bad. But you've tasted a little bit of that.
Well, yeah, of course, you know, the trials and tribulations of everyday life sometimes.
A strong person, a noble person who appreciates, you know.
I absolutely do, and I always end up speaking up for people who just don't have the wavos to speak up and go pardon the punk.
But the point is, what do you mean by that? Speak up. Tell me what you just meant by that. I just missed it.
For instance, I deliver gasoline.
Yes.
And people can get kind of pushy where we load.
Yes,
yeah. And somebody is just going to kind of get bullied around by somebody. I'll speak up and go, hey, pal, sit down. You're not next. End of story. You know, for instance, I don't know, that may sound corny, but...
But say that again, because there's noise on there. I didn't hear what you said clearly. I don't want to nod my head to something I didn't hear properly. Say that just one more time. You got movement on your telephone, and it robs me from hearing you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I am driving a noisy truck, but I have a tendency to speak up for people who won't speak up for themselves. You know, maybe sometimes it's getting into somebody else's business, but I tell you what, I certainly don't have a problem.
But you could get into trouble for that.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, you see, that is not that noble. You see, but if you see a little baby being hurt, that's different because he can't speak up for himself. So,
yeah,
you know, there's a big difference. But those people have to suffer. You can, You could talk to them and say, why don't you speak up to that person? But you don't understand. The answer is that they don't know how. Their conditioning has muzzled them and caused them to suppress. And once you start to suppress, you can't. Every little reaction causes more suppression, so you become a very quiet type, wanting to be peaceful with everybody. And America is full of those people. And so because America's, they will give themselves to the strongest horse.
Yeah. Well, you know, that could be. Maybe sometimes I just get frustrated with seeing that too. You know.
But I see it, but I don't get frustrated because it doesn't help me.
Yeah, well, I've got a lot to learn.
Okay. All right, well, let's just take another one. We just didn't have too many like that. But hello, Jeff. What can I do for you?
Hi, Roy.
Hello.
I'm calling as someone who is certainly a supporter and a witness for the power of the meditation, which has been so important in my life. But in listening to the, you on the radio, but and specifically in the 4th of July seminar, I've been watching on the website, there are a number of statements that you make that I think, you know, when you talk about wanting a larger soapbox, that get in the way, that create problems for people and sometimes for supporters, and certainly create some problems for me, and so I can go through as many or as few as you like. I'll give you an example.
But what are you trying to say? I didn't quite get what you're trying to say.
What I'm saying is that I have a problem with a number of things that you say. I'm speaking as a supporter.
Yes.
For someone who is perplexed by some of your statements.
Okay. So give me a for instance. Can you give me
sure? Okay. For instance, in the seminar, 4th of July seminar, you stated, "If you have Jesus, all your diseases go away."
Well, nearly all of them, because most of us can't have all of Jesus all at once. But I have a lady that was suicidal. She's still there at the ranch. She's only 22, and her mother sent her up. And all the psychiatrists together could not fix her, and as a last resort, they sent her to me. In 6 days, she's completely cured. Now, there is... And then she can't. You'll see her in next Sunday's talk. The last Sunday was recorded, and so you'll see last Sunday's when it's edited properly next Sunday, and it's called Why Suicide. See, and so there are two people in the audience to talk about that with absolutely brilliant, and they were saying both got better then. And so with that betterness of mind, whatever illnesses that attend that also go away in a matter of days or weeks.
But Roy, my problem is I certainly understand that there's the link that can exist between sin, separation from Jesus, and disease.
Yes.
But what you're saying would seem to deny that that affliction can also be a form of baptism by fire.
Yeah, I've said that. I don't know if you heard the first part of this program. Let me see. I don't know if I said it in the first part or the last part of the program. I said exactly what you said. I said, don't give me a weak person. I'd spit them out. That one that never stood up for anything. I mean, just a weak, fat slob that just got miserable. And ugly and all kinds of illness and diseases and taking pills and eating candy bars and watching television while stroking her cat. See, that's it. So but don't give me that one. Give me the rebel, the one that's brave enough to stand up for things and take everything he's got and become hated. Yeah, but even though he's doing it the wrong way, he's at least rebelling against the world in the only way he knows. And so he's broken, and he's alcoholic, and he's got tattoos all over himself. Give me that one.
Right. When you take noble people like a Ronald Reagan, who had to go through
He doesn't need anyone. He never needed anyone's help. He had it when he was born, like I did.
Yes, exactly. And yet that is no, having Jesus, like a noble person like Ronald Reagan, is no exemption from affliction, because affliction can be caused for other reasons than separation from Christ or sin.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Well, that describes me, because I had heart operation, it failed, and I had three prostate operations that all failed. I had a car crash after I recovered with new arteries, because the bypass failed, but I grew new arteries. 3 years after that, the front of my car disappeared, and I had heart failure, and 3 weeks after that, I was getting better. And I don't take any medicine for that now. So,
would you agree, though, that...
But those are the afflictions. Yeah. Those are the afflictions that come upon me, but those are the afflictions that magically cure themselves. Because Ronald Reagan may not have had all of it, but I have all of that. And then some more is coming. Some more is coming. I have to go through more afflictions. I'm actually looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand people. I can understand when a person is crucified and dying and being tortured, there could be a joy there. He's going to meet his maker.
Yes.
And therefore, under that last stress as a martyr, one can actually feel joy, not pain.
Understood.
It's coming into the kingdom.
Coming closely related to this, something else that I know I've had a problem with, and I'm sure many people who perhaps are intimidated from bringing this up to you would have a problem with, is
okay, you're
when
far
you made
away.
Some comments like saying that Tony Snow or Ann Romney have their afflictions because of...
They're public figures. Yeah.
They're public figures, but do you feel confident that you know them?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do. Absolutely confident. I listen, it's my business. You know, it's like going to a heavenly school and really looking at people's behavior. A person as noble as Tony Snow does not die from cancer without conflict. Without deep conflict that he's hidden, lots of rage that he's covered over and created the perfect-looking person that everybody loved. And the fact that everybody loved them made him a slave of being that perfect person. Not the same thing as Ronald Reagan. Not the same thing as Jesus, who loved in a perfect way.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't put on a veneer of goodness. Now, don't get me wrong, not that... Tony Snow wouldn't be in heaven because that was the best he could do. I give him a medal for that. So, but that's my just analysis of that. The fact that just because a person is comely and beautiful, and it is the ideal of what we should be, one that God bless him, he is actually a broken person trying to be the very best person he can. I have a best friend who's like that, a very best friend that it took me 40 years to wake him up. But he was, but he was always acted the noblest part. But he's beginning to. He just recently, I made a phone call to him because I've discovered something. I've been working with him for years. He's got trouble with his families and all the rest of it. And everybody sees what nobody else sees in him. That the family does see it, and the mother wife is going crazy because only she sees that side of him that tormenting her with his phony goodness. But it's really a marvelous facsimile to everybody else, but to her. Who needs the real man. And she can see that he's not the real man, and she's going crazy. That's what the effect it has. So Ann Romney has an illness that could easily be cured. And I can't remember the name of it. It's...
Multiple sclerosis.
Yeah, that's easy curable. But what's happening is she's resenting her husband because she sees in him what everybody else doesn't. But she, as a noble woman, will support him anyway. Not that he's a bad person, but the point is there's something about him that's missing that she so badly needs and he can't give it to her. But he's a good man. What could you complain? But still there's a resentment towards him that she's just covering up and is becoming that illness. Okay?
How can you, without having talked to her...
I can't tell you.
People with this affliction hearing that can
How does Mozart play the piano when he's three without ever learning? It's a gift, my friend.
Okay. Can I give you another example of a statement that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I like what you're saying.
All right.
It needs to be said.
You made a statement at one point fairly early on in the seminar about the nobility of Hispanic people compared U.S. People in the United States are scum.
Yeah. And no, I didn't say that. I just said they're more noble than American people as a whole.
Right. Okay. Well, certainly I would agree that the United States today is a shadow of what it once was
That's what I'm saying, yes.
But to make a sweeping generality that says that Hispanics are noble compared to the United States,
I didn't say that.
I know you're not a liberal.
No, I understand. But what I'm saying is that they come from hardship, and they appreciate the United States, and we have a lot of spoiled people here that are born here and have lost the meaning of what it means to be a free person. And they, if there's something sweet about these people, not that all good, don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying that America is bad, but we are terribly spoiled and weak and weakened by our things, our gluttony of glut of everything, and we just the country's dying. It's been dying for a long time.
What I would tell you, Roy, though, is that when you make a sweeping statement like that...
No, I don't care what people think. Why do you think I make a statement like that? I want people to talk back to me like you're doing right now.
Okay.
I want people to say, why did you say that? I said, because you need a good swift kick in the pants and look at these people and see how much they appreciate what you don't.
But I think it undermines your message about the problems with the U.S., which I completely agree with you on.
I honestly don't think so. I appreciate your criticism, but I think it needs to be said.
All right. Okay, I'll give you one more. you haven't disconnected me yet. You made the statement of...
You got a great memory. You'd write all this stuff down, do you?
Not all of it. I don't need to write too much of it down. But this, you said women are parasites in day five of the seminar. And
parasitic.
When I look at the words of Jesus, his conversations with women, or I think about the fall of man where men, man's punishment to scratch in the dirt to make his living, women to bear children in pain, all of it. To say that women are
but you only but hold it right there. You're only saying a little piece of it. When you take a piece of something and you hand it to me that way, that's not good form. Because I'm saying that the tendency of women is to look for the love of men, see, and to be saved from being parasitic. There's something about a woman that needs to be saved by a man. But men are selfish, and they see the voluptuousness of women, and they look and they fall to their beauty and draw from them what God should give them. In other words, they get into a woman, and something in the woman gets into them. And when that happens, she feeds on his failing and becomes addicted to his weakness for her. See, and just like the government will also do the same thing. The government is a parasite too. It doesn't have to be, but it is. It helps people, but helps themselves to the people they degrade. It doesn't really help people by giving them a fishing rod and teaching them to fish. It gives them fish, and so they make people slave of the giver. Well, I think we'll take, after the break, we'll take Jeff in Nevada, who's been waiting for a while, but I appreciate the comments of the last, but they're not strong enough. I need something a little bit tougher than that. But I just, we'll take up the subject of the parasitic nature of humans. And it's not confined to women, it's actually also, it's, you know, men too. When they become feminine, they have the same proclivities. As a matter of fact, men are better at being parasites than women because, in a sense, men are, you know, actually they're smarter than women in a sense. They should be, because women don't think that. There's a certain resentment. There's a certain contempt for the hierarchy of the order of men. And there's always a war that goes on between men and women, and women play that, because sometimes have no other way, no other means of having a man except having him. And we see all that's what divorce is all about. Violence and divorce, broken marriages, because men tend to look for the completeness through women. And that is like a drug addict calling for the pusher. She needs to be stopped. You need to stop her from that. But one's own selfishness wants to lick the candy bar. In other words, I say, you can't look at women as if they're an ice cream sundae. I'm going to pick up that after the break when we come back. You see, we have to have things in context. And so I'll carry on just in a few minutes. But my callers have been talking about the 4th of July seminar. There are 14 episodes, meaning three-hour pieces. And each Sunday they change so that you can watch that seven-day seminar in morning, afternoon chunks of 3 hours. And it plays all week. And but the creme de la creme, the one that we just did for Labor Day seminar, that is 3 days. And I'm going to have that specially edited. And I'm never going to show that one, ever. It's something you'll have to buy. It's so good. And it's the one thing I'm going to hold to raise money. But it's the best thing I've ever done in my whole life when it comes to doing a seminar. And I've done lots of them. So I suggest you go to the website. I don't know if they've changed the arrangement of how you get to see the seminar, 4th of July seminar. I think, I don't know how you, which, where you click, Paul. Is it just go to, oh, click on watch seminar video. Oh, you've changed it from, yeah, go to Sunday morning talks. Okay. Watch, how do you say it, Paul? I'm sorry.
Choice is watch Sunday video and watch seminar video.
Oh, watch Sunday video, watch, and watch, okay, get it. Oh, thank you very much. Okay, now we're going to go to Jeff in we're going to come out the ad. That's a web. The website is fhu.com, and you want to get a CD to help you with a problem. I don't care what it is. If you have a good attitude, decent appreciation of what I'm saying, you'll get well pretty quick. Right.
Listening to Advice Live with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Ah, yes, with respect to my last caller about women, there's got to be context here. I see, about women being parasites. The government's parasite. Men can be parasites. Children can be parasites. But it's a proclivity to women to rise to the occasion of weakness of men. And here I would make some distinction. Every woman has a voluptuousness about her to some degree. And she needs love. But we have to define what love is, because if a woman is used, if men call upon women to rise to the occasion of their weakness, men, there are very few men that are gentlemen. Percentage of men, gentlemen to men, is like 100 to 1. You do have gentlemen, and you have gracious ladies. Percentage is very small. The great majority of people are broken. And broken because of relationships and marriage. Now, why is it focused in marriage? Why would it have to be? Why is all the misery and suffering comes from relationship with men and women? You have a desert island, and you have man and woman, and pretty soon you have a colony. There it is again. Adam and Eve, they got together and produced the first two children, Cain and Abel. Cain kills Abel. Go figure it. The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Something has passed from generation to generation. And not her fault. You could say Adam doesn't say, put the fruit down. He eats with her. And therefore comes co-guilty. So if somebody steals and you partake of it too, of the swag, you're just as guilty. And so whatever tempted the person to steal, to share it with you and knowing that it was stolen, makes you a victim of the chain of what is then turned into something invisible, but neither one of you, that you can't see, but maybe the thief and the what made him a thief is behind that thief. I'm not sure if I said that, but point is, there's something about a woman that wants to be loved in a way that she's stopped from having her willful way. Well, in other words, there's something about a man that's weak for men, women. Weak. That is not a man that's weak for a woman. A man that's weak for a woman cannot love her. He cannot love the hell out of her. That quality that comes from Paradise Lost, and I mentioned the first family and the first murder. And the fact that he ate and partake of what was forbidden created a lineage of broken people. And the whole, through one man's sin and death through sin, suffering and all that sort of stuff, entered the world, but then there was a Jesus, a hope of salvation from this. But it seems as though we all have to suffer and cry, and a special kind of cry, to be saved from what we don't know, but which is full of pain and anger and resentment and sickness and disease and broken families and loneliness, lost limbs and stuff like that. But the point is, it's a salvation thing, because we've inherited a compulsive way of life. And the compulsion is, men are subject to women when they're born. And this is not healthy for a man to be subject to women. The women should be subject to men, but it can't be, because women have an inherited a one-upsmanship with men. And so that when a man is born to a woman, how else can he be born? I get it. But the point is, it's speaking about lineage, if it's true, then that women are missing something that is in a man to say, put the fruit down, Eve. No, you can't have that fur coat. No, you can't spend all the money in the family. But if you look at a woman's, a man looks like a woman, like a lollipop or ice cream sundry, then he's gratifying him. There's something missing in himself that he's drawing up from her, and that makes him a co-conspirator. In other words, he becomes more perfectly perfect. He perfects his imperfection. In other words, he's reaching out to a woman for what's not good for a woman to give, in exactly the same way, exactly as an addict with a pusher. The principle is the same. He calls, so what, two people are born. The pusher's born a baby, and the addict is born a baby. They're two men. One becomes a parasite. The pusher's a parasite. And the pushover is feeding his life force. This kind of thing begins with man, woman, men looking towards two women and making her special and giving her himself, giving something of her himself to her that isn't good to have power. And some women hate a man for that, because deep inside they know they want the love of a man to say no to her. No, you can't be unreasonable. But she finds herself becoming more unreasonable to tempt him to say no, but he keeps giving her and giving himself. And this is the problem between men. So he is unconsciously making her a parasite. And there's something dark feeding on them both. And the children suffering from the conflict. And we need to understand these things. It's a spiritual warfare. All right, now we're going to go to... we'll take Vincent, and if somebody's going to call, I want people to be a little adversarial with me, and I'm inviting that. I've been doing that for a long time, but nobody ever calls, so I thought, well, give it one more try this evening. So we got one person on hold for that. But Jeff in Nevada, hello, you've been waiting for me, and I think you dropped off and you come back again. Is that right, Jeff?
That's correct.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
It's a perfect segue into my issue that I'm calling you about.
Okay.
And it was just recently. I'm going to give you the forefront, and then I'll give you the back front later. The back stuff, if you want it. But recently, my wife accused me of, my estranged wife, rather, accused me of preaching to her because of, I really don't know why she accused me of that, because we were talking, and I was talking about God and about how my decisions are based on that now. And the problem is where the conversation came from was she had gotten suspended from work, and I said, and I asked her, well, what did you do to get suspended? And then she judged me by saying that she's assuming that I'm assuming that it was all her fault. And this is a microcosm for other things, but...
She twisted what you said.
She what?
She twisted. She implied that you were being nosy or accusing her in some way.
Right, when I was just really asking what happened in the situation.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like she's uncomfortable. See, what it is, she feels hurt when she was suspended. And there may have been some unfairness there, but the very fact that you ask her, why is that? Well, she can't explain that. So you don't realize. What you should have said, oh, don't worry. We'll make it. It's a matter of wisdom here. That wasn't a good thing to say. Well, what was the reason? Because whatever the reason is, she's hurt by that. And so when you ask her, she's at a loss to give you an answer, and then she lashes at you. So, because her frustration has to come out somewhere, you see, and it's on you. So, but if you would say, honey, that don't worry about it. I can make a living for both of us. That would have been better. But you're not wise yet, see. There's no wisdom
right.
there yet, see.
Let me ask you this. Here's the thing. We're split up, by the way. We've been split up for 2 years now, and I called you a few months ago about the situation. I was once wrapped up in her and was letting her suck my life force. And
yes.
I mean, that's really what it came down to. But I mean, I my happiness depended on if I was getting her approval or not.
Yeah, that's not healthy for anybody. Even if it's a rat, even if it's a dog, he'll take advantage of you.
And now I feel like she's still looking at me through yesterday's eyes.
Yes, he's
and
still
judging me for the things that I've said and done before.
That's understandable, you know, because once a person judges, they don't want to let that go. So they want to see you. They don't want to see that you've changed for the better, because that would make them uncomfortable if you are changed for the better. Because then they have to fess up to the fact they're secretly judging you and hating you and getting a perverse pleasure from that. So I can understand that, but don't let it bother you. Like, that's that you know that, and I know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, actually, it doesn't bother me, Roy, but I guess I don't even know what to say to her when she's looking at me through yesterday's eyes. I mean, I can't prove I'm any different, and nor do I want to.
I know, but I see, I'm not in your shoes, so I can't tell you what to say. It's what is said or not said is intuitive, and it's really magical, so I can't really tell you that. I put my wife through different things. She gets flies off the handle, and a dark side comes out, and she says all the kinds of silly things, and I just wait for it to go away. And that's it. I just wait for it to go away, and she goes to sleep after being worn out, and then wakes up next morning like nothing happened. Got it?
Yeah. I know how to do it.
I've been married 60 years.
And that thing. The reason I think she's.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying the reason I think she's doing this is because, seriously, every time something goes wrong, I rarely ever get angry. And especially now, I've done your program, I've changed a lot of things about my life.
That's good.
And I'm no longer suppressing the anger anymore. I just don't have it anymore.
That's good.
And I've never gotten angry with her, really angry ever. But she assumes that I'm going to be angry from something or be disappointed with her.
Well, leave it alone and give it time. Give it time. And then one day she'll lash out at you. It must be something so obvious that she'd get this anger will build up inside her. And then all of a sudden she'll lash out when you least expect it. And you'll be looking at her quietly. And then she'll just run out of the room and then come back maybe a day or two later. You know, I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me. You just wait for it. It's all a matter of God's time, not yours. It's not your time. Your time always leads to frustration. There's always a will when there's your time. So with me and my wife, I have it in me to think, yes, not a perfect wife. She's a good woman, but she has those ways and tempts me continuously, but it's all right. We've been married 60 years, and it would be nice if she'd be easier to deal with for her own sake. But I say to myself, in a manner of speaking, God waits for me, I wait for her, I'm in charge of her, and I'll take care of her. And slowly but surely, when she's 90, and she wakes up one morning and said, yeah, I see it all, she's beginning to see that now. It's taken me all these years, and there's not a word she can utter against it, even though there's little frustrations here or there, little judgments here and there that she holds against me. I can understand that, but then she does to her own detriment, and I try to get to see it. See, that's my job. So it'll be your job to, you know, be the example and just wait for the time to say or not say things. And I can't say much more. Oh, here we are. Well, I'm doing all the ads, so I'm full of vinegar and other stuff. All right, now let me see. We have one more caller, and may I recommend, ladies and gentlemen, my friends, that you support my broadcast. You may not like what I say sometimes. You may hang up the phone and say, who the hell does he think he is? But I got to say it. I got to say what I see, even if it's disturbing to you. As a matter of fact, I hope it is disturbing. I hope you'll see in your disturbance a hostility towards me for being outspoken. But I didn't know that you listened. Don't you see, I speak in principles. I speak in principle when I talk about men and women. All women need love, but not the love you, not sex. Maybe with love, but that's rare, because usually sex is lust for men, and that's women hate men for it, or to exploit them for it, either way. But the point is, something wrong with men that allow themselves to have their juices sucked out of them, so to speak. I don't mean to be that rude or anything, but it's the way you cause your wife to be parasitical, or in conversely, that men themselves can be parasitical to their wives and draw and act the part of the woman, and the woman being having more sense than the woman tries to play the role of a man, and then she gets suckered in and loses her life and feels uncomfortable and goes crazy. In a sense, a woman then knows what it's like to be a man. You have feminine men. And they just look like men, but they have the same sucking, charming power of a woman, which is much stronger. That's why you don't see many female dictators. It's mostly men. Part man, part woman, part devil. See? So a dictator is the projection of what's in a woman that needs to be saved. If you look at, well, I don't want to give you names of people right now because I can't. But if you look at some of your people you're voting for, you can see feminine qualities that knows how to charm and to deceive and become empowered by your life, liking them and loving them and making them, putting them on the pedestal.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Ah, here we are. Well, it's Vince in California. Hello, Vince.
Hi, sir. This is Vince. It's an honor always to be talking to you. Tonight I'm rather spent. It's a very rare occurrence because I do your observation exercise ceaselessly all day. I mean, I'm actually an overcompensator in that way. So I'll just listen to you, okay?
Yeah, but let me say this about what you said. It's not good to do the meditation all day. And it's not good to be an overcompensator because it's not the right way to do it.
Well, so, when I say I do it all day, It keeps working on my infrastructure.
I see what you mean then. I see, because
so
there's the ever flowing. I beg your pardon?
It's just that ever flowing.
All right. I'll buy that. That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's not out there, and it's not even inside. It's like a center. He that's in you that testifies. And
I like that.
And me and people. And all everything animate and inanimate around. That
makes sense.
I would rather listen to you, sir, tonight. So just go on, will you?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Good night,
thank you,
sir.
Good night. I've put out, several times, so for looking for detractors, I haven't found any. I've had friendly detractors. I like that. But I would like some really strong ones. Really, but not rude. But find what to tell me what I'm saying that's not right. And one man had a good shot at it, but we had a lot of fun. And he meant well. That made it easy. But it wasn't really, there was no mean ones, mean-spirited ones. What happened to the mean-spirited people? I've been on the air for 53 years. They're out there. They're listening, but you see, what I'm trying to make a point is that they're afraid of me. And so the media is afraid of me, and I keep saying them, and I'm just sort of like always taunting them to take me on, but they won't come out of their cheese. See, because we talk about the mainstream media that helped to bring this America down, that encouraged the process of the schools doing what they did to our children, encourage it, and encourage the demoralization of our children. Condoms and bananas kind of stuff, do I have to say it? And Ritalin and Prozac to teach the kids, and the American people just standing by and let it happen. And then the same-sex marriages and abortion. How could you? That's what I'm trying to say. And so there's something wrong with all of those people that subscribe to it. And this is my sort of closing piece. So I'm sort of being an adversary right now, adversarial to the nature of what has become Americans. Because how could you vote to kill babies? How could you be manipulated that money is spent to convince you? How low can you sink? You see, that's what I'm saying. How low can you sink? And how could you allow your kids to get Ritalin and Prozac? How can you allow your children to be brainwashed in school and you know it's going on? How can you stand by as a people and know that the universities are brainwashing your kids, and yet you send your kids to those universities anyway? And you know these universities, for example, is a hotbed for Marxist-Leninists and professors, and the children are so brainwashed they won't let a conservative speak. They just, you know, throw rotten eggs at them or whatever. Now, that's publicly funded. Where's the outcry? The outcry should be led by the media. No, it's the media that's encouraging all of this. It's the media that's quietening down everything that should be spoken and hiding everything that should be in the light. So, I know that. So, I would have been approached by this group of people, an MSNBC kind of thing. They said they were, MSNBC, Lockup, Animal Planet, Pit Bulls, Perilote, Spike TV, Deadly Warrior, blah, 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 blah. But the thing is, I don't feel comfortable with these people approaching me just before the election. I must be pretty important to want to do a hit job on me. See? They want a hit on me. And there's people behind this that feel that I am too much of an influence. I'm an influence in the sense I want you to awaken from your sleepy ways and find who you are again, one nation under God with virtues. And I want to show you how you can find your virtues that you've lost and that they are keeping you from it. Can't conquer a noble people. Okay, well, I do hope you've enjoyed the program. Would you please send a donation to give me a bigger soapbox? It may be too late to give me a bigger soapbox. You should have given it to me a long time ago, but I do appreciate those of you who have supported me and my work for as many years as you have. But it isn't enough to be big enough, although my reach is pretty big, obviously, that they wouldn't want to do a hit piece on me. See, I know that with that comely voice and all the things, as if I was going to do me a great favor by making me important and doing a story in my life. I know it's going to be a hit job, but I wasn't born yesterday. These are sort of seductive degenerates. See, that hate the good that I'm doing, but haven't got the courage to face me one-on-one, or 10-on-1, or whatever it is, but do a lying pit piece. And so these are the kind of people that are in Washington. And so they're all a big crowd of people like that, all belong to each other. But you've allowed all the things to happen, so may I suggest, I've only got a few minutes, that you find, if you have a problem with depression or drug addiction, alcohol, just go to my website and download for $10, Be Still and Know. There's also pain, fear, and stress, but you may not need that. Just try that one thing first. Should do you a whole lot of good. Wake up one morning not drinking, not smoking, not carousing, becoming a better person for America. Good night, I'm Roy Masters.